Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Jordan, welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast.
Nice to be back, man. It's been a little hiatus, right?
Yeah, I just took a little season ending, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's actually interesting because when I was ending that last one,
right,
my topic was I was basically giving my assessment of that, you know, hit piece Rolling Stone article about the Weeknd show.
Right.
And I was saying why I believe that they were putting out that hit piece months before the show came out. Mm-hmm. And then now the show, all five episodes, they aired, the season is done.
Yeah, it seems like those episodes short, but hey. I'll take it.
So there's reasons for that, mm-hmm. right? And we can get into all that stuff, but I'm sure you probably have some strong opinions about the show. I know I do.
Oh, I do. Because I honestly, really, and truly, I was quite excited for the show because I've become quite a fan of, I guess, that type of cinematography coming off of Euphoria. And then knowing that they had similar writers or producers for the show, I was definitely excited to see what they would have, but I was sadly disappointed, unfortunately. Sadly disappointed.
Bro, like, okay, before I give you my opinion,
yeah,
right, before I hit you with some facts, I would just like to know where this disappointment you have, like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay, so really and truly, getting into the show, episode one, it took me somewhere that was, you know, like the music, the soundtrack, it pulls you in with the soundtrack, the clothes, the fashion, the mansion, all that, right? It draws you in, right? And then you see that it's based on an artist, right? It's based on Jocelyn, who is this pop star, right? So it's always interesting to see behind the curtains of the music industry, right? And we see that the managers are there at the house, and then you see that there's a leaked image, right? And it's very modern today's times, right? Because things get leaked all the time, right? And to see how pop stars go about handling that's something that's fascinating, right? So for me, episode one, I was drawn on about that, right? The characters, what was going on, the plot, all right? And then it just veered off from that, right? Episode 2, 3, 4, they're just showing me randomness. They're showing me a man getting tasered with a dog collar. They're showing man's dancing in the crib. They're showing me, who's that, Sean Leon? A Sean Leon reenactment. They're showing me these next type of mans. And it's just like, it was all over the place. They lost the plot. And then really and truly, like, it seemed like Tetris or dollar store Prince, as I like to say, with that whole corny ass scene, him looking up at that Purple Rain poster and like, oh, look, I'm Prince. It was terrible. It was a terrible reenactment of the Purple Rain movie that came out in the 80s. It was terrible. Really and truly, they did a terrible job of, I guess, him being that character, being another type of Purple Rain type character. And I think the Weeknd just did a terrible job as an actor. He had some good moments, but some moments were just terrible. He just looked sweaty and hot, and just, he just looked disgusted, right? And like the scenes were just awkward. And like at the end of the day, it went from he's in control and there's some cult that he seems that he's creating. And then it turns into, oh, Jocelyn is in control at the end of the day. Right. And they do that whole cliffhanger or surprise twist at the season finale. And it was just nonsense. And it was just no explanation of when that change happened or how that shift happened. It just happened, right? And they're singing and dancing. They introduced these different artists that are dancers, singers, and all that. Like, and they had the one Asian girl that they were going to replace Jocelyn. And then before you know it, oh, we're not going to replace you. We're just going to keep Jocelyn and kick you to the curb. That was a whole waste of time too. There's a whole bunch of different things and plots and character development that just fell short. And it just led to a dead show, really and truly. I appreciate that they tried something different and they tried to give us a glimpse of the music industry or give us a glimpse of The Weeknd's debut acting, but it fell short for me overall. And I don't see it going a season two. I don't see it. I think usually these limited series have 6 episodes and they got cut down to 5. And I think it got cut down to 5 for a good reason. And this is a forgettable show. It'll be forgotten by the end of the summer. And I end my case.
Okay. I completely wholeheartedly disagree.
Okay.
I think my guess is that you probably were reading Twitter before you actually watched the show.
Okay, here we go. Yeah.
So you went into it with this bias of what people on the internet were saying.
Okay.
So it planted seeds. So the character development was there because for all characters involved.
Okay. Okay.
So even with The Weeknd's character, we go into it thinking that he's this manipulative guy, right? Who's trying to use her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see, once you get to around episode 4, once you get to around episode 3, 4, and then you get to the ending, you start to realize that it was actually her who was basically trying to use him because she saw that he could bring the creativity and get her out of the slump that she was in musically.
Right.
Right. So that was one aspect of what you had going on. And in terms of the tasering, right? So if you notice, there was one scene where he was at his club and then he had the taser on the black dude, Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isaac with a Z. Right?
Yeah, Sean Leon, no?
So
one of those artists, I don't know.
So you see how he kept shocking.
You should know. XO. That's your whole click, right?
Yeah. So I wouldn't say click, but you see how we kept like shocking him and saying him, listen, you're a star, right? You're a star. And then if you saw at the end when they got to episode 5,
mm-hmm.
the way he was putting on his show. So that's because that he was priming them. So although his methods may have seemed a little bit, I mean, I would say unconventional, it ended up working because
it wasn't believable. Talent out of it was not believable. There's a bunch of scenes that you just cannot believe, or just I couldn't buy into the character at the end of the day.
Okay, like, let me ask really, you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you this, because you said that his character was weird and sweaty and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is when he did when he was doing press for the show and he was talking about the show, he says, my character is supposed to be creepy,
hated, awkward, blah,
and make
blah,
people
blah,
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And then when he goes out there and he does it, oh, he's such a bad actor. He plays such a creepy guy. Like,
no.
He literally,
that's not, he that's said not he my defense, though. That's not my defense. It's not that he, I've seen him tweeting, right, to defend himself all day on Twitter. I saw him after every episode on Twitter. Yeah, you're supposed to hate me, blah, blah, blah. He tried to, really and truly, it's a reverse psychology, this media thing, trolling. That's what he was doing. He was on social media trolling, try to garner up more hate about his character so more people would watch it, right? And again, it just, if that fell short. And yes, of course, that was how it was supposed to be. But again, if he's supposed to be this villain, or not even anti-hero, a villain, usually you end up appreciating a villain, right? For how dark or terrorizing they may be. And it was there was just weak parts to it, right? It wasn't believable. When he had that scene where he's early on in the season, when he slaps that one guy that's the doctor, I believe, that was massaging her, whatever the case may be, or looking at Jocelyn, and he slaps him and he tells him off. Like, it was just corny at the end of the day. It was really corny, and I really didn't buy into it. And really and truly, let me ask you this. Out of all the Weeknd characters we've seen that he's brought forth through his music, are we going to say that this Tedros character is one of the best characters that he's provided us as consumers?
Honestly, I would say so. Because
I just saying that.
No, it's not that I'm just saying that. I would say so because he actually dived in. Well, he dives into his other stuff. But with this, like with After Hours, it was just the music. There was no audio, right? With Donna Femme, the focus was just on the music. There was no actual story.
There was visuals. There was visuals.
No, there was visuals, but there wasn't like a script, right?
Yeah.
It's just he's narrating a story through visuals, but there's not an actual script. With this, there's actually a story, there's script, there's dialogue.
And it fell short. Whole
plot. I don't think it fell short. I thought
the storyline was not good.
They told a story. They told a good story. Like, it literally showed that this girl was in a rut, right? She was in a downward spiral. Here this guy comes with this unconventional method who thinks that he has her right where she wants her, but the whole time she has him right where she wants him because she can use him as a way to, you know, leverage and re-spark that creativity that was missing for so long.
I was really, really and truly, I heard this take, right? And I feel like it would have been better off as a movie. They try to drag out a limited series that was clearly very limited for it to be 5 episodes. And it could have been, if that was put into a condensed 2.5 hour movie, I think it would have ended up being better. Because they had some scenes that just fell flat and they just had things that just didn't make sense. And it's almost like they threw a bunch of things at you and then you forgot about it right away, right? And then the focus really and truly was just Jocelyn and Tedros, right? The managers, right? Jocelyn's managers, like, I think they did a good job, but again, it's just like they just have their one-liners and then it's just a lot of Tedros and Jocelyn and just like, I don't know, really and truly, like, there wasn't much to the show. I think the best thing that came out of the show was the music. So okay. That's what he needs to focus on. Just the music and the acting. And I said this before, pre-pod, that if The Weeknd removed himself from the show and took a Drake role as an executive director, I think this show ends up being better.
Okay. I think he did a pretty good job with the acting. I thought he was a very convincing. I thought he played a convincing creep, right? I mean, clearly, because people are all over Twitter and writing all these news articles. Oh, his character is so creepy. Well, then he did his job. He came off the way he intended to. But I think, really and truly, there was two things that is being held against the show. One of them, I think, was one of the co-directors or one of the co-producers on it, Sam Levinson. I think a lot of people, especially in mainstream media, they have a gripe with him because of the work that he does on Euphoria and sometimes the way he depicts certain characters. So I think a lot of that animosity and tension that was there towards him from that show, it spilled over into this series. And I think The Weeknd was just this guy who kind of just got caught in the line of fire, right? So I think that's number one. I think number two, that Rolling Stone article, that already planted seeds of the show before people even got a chance to actually see it for themselves, right? And then I think number three, to be honest, I think with The Weeknd, I think he got into acting a little bit late in his career. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. So if you look at a guy like 50 Cent, for example, right? His career took off in 03. By 05, he was doing Get Rich or Die Trying. And then he started doing movies, right? So he did it early in his career. If you look at Eminem, he started blowing up like 99, 2000. By 2002, he already did 8 Mile. So he was still early in his career where he could kind of make that pivot towards acting. But I think with The Weeknd, people have been following his career since 2011. and all this body of work that he's put out since that time. He finally goes into acting 12 years later. By that time, people already have an established image in their mind of who he is and what his brand is. And not many people even knew what his voice sounded like. You know, I'm talking in terms of speaking until they watched the show, some of them.
Right.
So they already had a perception of his brand. So it's very difficult for him to try to rebrand himself or recreate himself at 12 years post the start of his mainstream career. So I think with those factors involved, I think the show was playing behind the eight ball from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you exclude those factors and people just watch the show with an open mind, no social media bias, none of that Rolling Stone stuff, I really do think people would have actually looked at the show and enjoyed it for what it was, which it was just meant to be a fun, it was meant to be a fun, awkward show. But it was also meant to kind of tell a little bit about the pressures that people, that artists in the industry face. And I'll give you an example of that. So I believe it was episode 3 where he's talking to Jocelyn's creative director, right? And he was like, let's just say you had carte blanche. And people were writing think pieces like, oh, he said the word wrong. The dude speaks French. He knows that he knows he said it wrong.
Yeah,
it's just that he's meant to use dialogue as a way to show that the guy Tedros is not a very sharp guy.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, there's definitely some comedic relief to it, and I feel like you were supposed to laugh, but I feel like it gave such a serious tone to it, the way you're just like you viewed it as such a serious dramatic show. But I feel like there was a lot of comedy in it that probably went over people's heads.
Yeah, like one of them went over your head. Like when he went to the doctor and he slapped him. That was meant to be a humorous thing to say.
Like, I laughed,
like,
for sure.
Like what the hell? Like that didn't even like escalate. Or even the part when he took her shopping and he's going to the guy, the security works with, like, are you looking at my girl? Look at her again. Let me catch you looking at her again. That, like, this dude's not threatening.
Yeah,
but it's not meant to be threatening. It's like you're kind of laughing at it. Like, this guy takes himself that seriously. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like I said, those three factors that I mentioned, I think it kind of made people look at the show in a different light than they probably should have.
Yeah, I think that last point you made is a strong point in terms of Weeknd's acting, in terms of he had a snippet in a previous movie, I believe, wasn't it?
Uncut Gems, yeah.
Uncut Gems, right? He had that little snippet, right? And that's a little sneak peek and, like, you know, he's there and he's gone, right? But that's, people will understand that and be like, okay, you know, it's the Weeknd. So it's more so like a cameo rather than acting. For him to go to like a cameo role to now being a main character or a supporting role, it's like, it's a lot, right? And like you mentioned, like, no one is used to what is Weeknd as an actor. What is Abel as an actor? People have never seen it. What does he sound like? What is his mannerism? We don't know what that is. Wait, what type of role fits him the greatest? We don't know that, right? And I feel like it's difficult for this to be his debut when he had so much screen time. That's why maybe I'm on the side of maybe if he was behind the scenes, he would have done a better job. Or maybe if he was like a creative director role in the show where like they're there but they're not there all the time, maybe he does a better job. Because I just feel like it was difficult for him to take on such a massive role and it being like his show, like a lot of pressure was on him, and I don't think it helps him as an actor going forward. Like people don't look at his role or his performance in the idol and look forward and be like, okay, I want to see Abel in another show or another movie, right? People aren't going to look like that. People aren't going to look for like, when are we going to see Abel again, right? It would be nice to see Abel in something else. Like, I feel like this puts a sour taste in a lot of consumers' mouth in terms of him in that role. I don't know, but business, maybe he should stick to the music business because maybe acting is not really his ballpark.
So it could go either way. Like I said, I don't really think that he was that bad of an actor, right? And people are gonna say, "Oh, well, you're biased." It's not being biased. I just don't I don't think he was a bad actor. I thought he conveyed the character well. I just think people were trying to take him too seriously, mm-hmm. or take his character too seriously. But if you look at it for what it was, I think he hit the nail on the head. But I will say that he has another movie that he just finished shooting, mm-hmm. With some actress. I believe her name is Jenna Ortega or something like that.
Oh, she's in she did a big movie. I forget, but I'm familiar with the name.
Yeah, so they have a movie coming out. So I think that movie has to come out, and then I think that movie will be a better measuring stick in terms mm-hmm. of what his future career in Hollywood would look like.
Yeah.
So maybe for certain audiences, there might be more pressure when that movie comes out to see how he'll deliver as an actor. But one thing I know about Hollywood is like, there's always second and third chances, bro. Like, there's so much actors who I saw that I thought they were terrible, but they've gone on to get plenty of roles, right?
Yeah.
So I think if he keeps, you know, pursuing Hollywood enough, and if he really wants to dive into this thing, I think there will always be a space for him in it. But we'll see what the reception is like when that movie comes out, because like people said, LeBron was a brilliant actor after Trainwreck.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, LeBron just needs to stick to basketball. Okay.
But
shut up and dribble. All right. And coach too now.
So people were like, "Oh, he was a great actor after Trainwreck." Mm-hmm. But then with Space Jam 2, there was mixed reviews on it, right?
Right.
So
bad reviews, yeah.
And he continued. Well, some people. So I think there will always be space for him in it, but it'll be interesting to see how that movie plays out. I don't think he needs to worry about being behind the scenes just yet. I do think that, is he the greatest actor we've ever seen? No, but he's not the worst actor we've ever seen either. So yeah, of course, there's always going to be room for improvement. But if we're always going to compare his acting ability to the greatness of his musical ability, it's always going to come up short, bro.
Right.
But even with that being said,
yeah,
to me, The Idol had one of the greatest soundtracks that ever accompanied a project.
I wouldn't say greatest, but it's good.
One of.
It's good. But I feel like the bad, like, I guess, stigma around the show is almost clouding the music. Like, the promotion of the music is almost like, if you're not, like, looking for it, you're not really going to see it. Or they're not playing it. Like, the radio's not playing it. Like, and you know how The Weeknd goes. If The Weeknd dropped music, you're hearing it in malls, on radio, everywhere. I don't think you're really hearing the soundtrack like that. And it's odd.
I hear Popular a lot.
Popular you hear a lot. But not really. But he went in a unique way, because, like, he dropped the music episodically, right? So, like, every weekend when the episode dropped, he would drop like two or three songs, right?
Yeah,
and now it's all out in like separate packages.
Yeah, because like it's tough, because the thing is, like, if he's doing songs every episode, right? Let's just say he's doing on average three songs every episode. There's five episodes. That's about 15 new songs, right?
Yeah.
All 15 songs are not going to chart. You know what I mean? Because some of them are just tracks with some of the, like, the supporting actors.
Yeah.
So musically, I'm not really checking for Isaac like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not checking for Lily. No.
Yeah. So it's like, so it's not always going to meet expectation to fall short, but usually with every movie or show, there's always that one standout song. So using the examples earlier, like with like 8 Mile, there was Lose Yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So there's always going to be that standout. So for this one, it was Popular.
Yeah, right? Playboy. So, yeah.
So it did its job. Like, now it's getting its radio airtime. It's going on some like Spotify charts and stuff. So it's doing what it's supposed to do, right? So I'm not willing to go and say that this whole venture was a failure, because they said it was going to be the show of the summer. Mm-hmm. People have been talking about it all summer so far, good or bad. All publicity is good publicity, right? Like you said, content over everything. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's right. I mean, it's right. But again, I just don't know where this show stands in the future, right? I don't think it's something we really come back to or we look back at as like, remember that Idol show? I don't think that's ever going to be a topic of discussion, to be honest.
So fair enough. But yeah. You know,
do you think there'll be a season two, or do you think it's just a just one limited series and that's that?
I have my, like, I would like to see a season two personally, but I doubt there would be, only just because usually, you know, when shows come out by like the second or third episode,
yeah,
the network will come out and say, we've already renewed it for another season.
Right.
So the fact that they didn't do that with this one, I think makes me a little bit cautious.
Not looking good, bro. Not
and also too, the fact that it was meant to be six, they brought it down to five.
Yeah,
I think that part makes me a little bit cautious too. But I think with them, like at HBO, if I had to make a guess, I'm not inside these rooms, I don't know. But if I had to make a guess, based on the amount of engagement it did on social media, I'm assuming they would probably be open to bringing it back for another season, under the condition that they probably bring in more seasoned veteran writers. But I think it's tough because right now Hollywood has a writer's strike.
Right.
But I imagine based on those popularity metrics, no pun intended, they would probably be open to bringing it back with more veteran seasoned writers. But I think because of all the negativity and vitriol that it got from like mainstream media, I think HBO will just kind of buckle and say, hey, you know, it's been a good run, but I think, you know, it was a limited series and we don't want to bring it back for a season two. So that's kind of where I'm leaning towards, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was to come back for a second season, though.
Okay. Well, speaking of coming back, I wonder if Kiki Palmer will be coming back to her man after her illustrious events in Las Vegas at the Usher show over the past two weekends, I believe. Usher has the world in a frenzy. Time and time again, we see Usher at his Las Vegas residence performing his concerts and approaching women with husbands or with men and singing to them and seeing how these women react. So it's all across the timelines. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's discussing it. This whole Kiki Palmer situation. So why not dive into it? So what are your thoughts on this whole Kiki Palmer and Darius, the tweeter?
So it's actually funny. Like when I seen the name Darius, I kind of laughed a little only because like not at his name, but because in one of my books, actually I have a character in there named Darius.
Named Darius. Yeah.
That was a very shameless plug, but I don't care. And the thing is this, right? I think this incident, I think, is a perfect example of everything that's wrong, I think, with modern intersexual dynamics between men and women in this day and age, right? The idea that a guy is openly communicating a boundary that he has, saying that he finds something to be inappropriate, and immediately he's being met with anger. They're making fun of him, saying, oh, well, she gets the money, so you got to be quiet and take it. But
funny that how that same, works.
But then let's just say now a dude has money and he's doing stuff with other women and they say, well, he has money. Just be there. Just sit there and take it. That's misogynistic. That's you're being this like it's a double standard, right? That we know and exists in society in this modern day and age. Right. Women have the luxury that if they want to be career women boss babes, they can do that. But if they want to be stay at home wives, they could do that and they'll never be judged.
Right.
But a guy does not have the luxury of being a stay-at-home husband without being met with ridicule and mockery. So to me, it's a perfect representation of everything that's wrong with the modern dynamics today. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there because really and truly, what we see here, and it's funny how social media works, because we get to see these back and forth between people choosing Keke Palmer's side and very little people on Darius's side, right? Of course, at the end of the day, you should keep your life private, right? But the realm we live in, the world we live in, that's damn near impossible, right? And him being with someone like Keke Palmer, that's, everyone knows Keke Palmer. Like, she was in the hit movie that came out not too long ago, Nope, right? So her coming off that and her just having that kid and her bouncing back into shape, of course, she has a bunch of cheerleaders behind her, right? So unfortunately, from Darius's point of view, he was never going to win that battle. Right, no. Going to social media is a women driven environment, and of course, or I feel like content and social realm is a woman driven environment, and him trying to garner up any reinforcements or any support on his side, it was just gonna fall short at the end of the day, and it led to him disabled his Twitter, right? So at the end of the day, it's unfortunate what he had to go through. And the times we live in, like we said, like, it's a double standard. Women can choose to live whatever life they choose to live. And at the end of the day, men just got to be the providers and support the cause and try to be fathers at the end of the day. So that's my political response to this situation.
Don't get yourself canceled, bro. It's not, but like, honestly, social media is a very, I don't know if it's just social media, like it's just weird, because Instagram, the posts are like meant to be optimistic, but if you look at the comments, it's just nastiness.
Yeah,
like, just people,
they only show you the pessimistic stuff.
Yeah, like, just people spewing like pessimism and negativity, right? And I've seen it firsthand on Twitter. It's actually hilarious to me, because I remember some page, NBA Central, they posted the video of Draymond Green rocking Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like in the comments saying Jordan Poole is some kind of victim. But I said, yo, the dude deserved it.
Right.
Right? Because if you watch the full clip, he pushed Draymond first.
Yeah.
And then Draymond snuffed him back.
Right.
Once you push someone, you have initiated the fight.
Right.
And then, bro, literally, I got hundreds of people replying to that attack.
Wow, eh? You went viral.
It was a very, I wouldn't even say viral, is a very small moment, but even this former NBA player, Eddie Johnson, like, he got at me for it.
Wow.
Right? And then I released another video afterwards, and I showed proof what I was talking about. And here's even further more proof.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what the Warriors did, who did they keep? Who did they get rid of?
Yeah.
So that tells you
in Washington.
Yeah, so that tells you who was right and who was wrong. But I say all that to say just how nasty and ridiculous people on the internet are, that they would come at this dude Darius just for simply upholding a boundary.
Yeah.
And what did he say that's so bad? He just said, like, listen, you're a mother, you're a wife, you shouldn't be parading out there like that. And now it's like you're trying to control what women wear, you're trying to control blah, blah, blah. But let's just say the shoe was on the other foot. Let's just say he had a wife and kid at home, and then he's out there on yachts, popping champagne, throwing money.
Yeah, shirt off, shoddy and shit. Yeah.
What would people say? Oh, you have a wife and kid at home. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just say he's showing himself on a boat full of women dancing in their thongs, like twerking it up.
Yeah.
Right? People would comment, you have a wife and kid at home. What are you doing all that for? Are you having a midlife crisis? Blah, blah, blah. They'd come at
Right.
But when the shoe's on the other foot, now suddenly you don't like it. Like, so to me, it's just a double standard.
Yeah, and it's crazy because not too long ago, there was a clip of Chance the Rapper, right, that was seen at a, I believe it was a carnival, maybe in Trinidad. And he was, I guess, you know, within the culture, like, bubbling is a thing, right? And he was up bubbling and dancing with girls that wasn't his wife, and they killed him for it, right? But again, he's Chance the Rapper, and the culture is the culture where you go there, you dance, and you have fun, and they killed him for that, right? So now, like, what are we doing? There's women going to kill him for that, but now if Keke Palmer's at the Usher show turning around, twirling with her see-through outfit. We're not killing her. We're killing the man that's just saying something that's realistic for a man seeing his wife and his the mother to his child out and about dancing around. And him just saying something that you would say probably in private, one-on-one, for him just to tweet it, he gets ridiculed for that. I just don't think that's right, really and truly, at the end of the day, right? And again, it's a double standard. And it's just, I feel like women don't like the idea of reality, right? If someone is going to address something in a realistic manner, they just ignore it. And they create their own narrative to address it how they see it. Yeah. They don't only look at the other side. They just look at the one side and support it to the death. And that's not how it should be at the end of the day, right? You got to look at the general aspect of the situation. She's out and about. She's wearing literally nothing or very see-through or very lustful outfit. Right, she's twirling around. Of course, she's probably drinking, like, you know, she's having a good time. But again, there's a proper way to behave as a mother and an older woman, right, in the public eye, right? And again, I feel some people put Usher at blame, but again, Usher is a performer. He's a showman. That's what he does. He does it time and time again. It's not something he's doing that's new. There's nothing different from what Usher's doing to what Megan or Cardi or these other artists do when they, or Shenseea does when they bring up a fan to the stage and they dance up on them, right? So at the end of the day, it's just crazy to think that one could shift a narrative so much when it's just a simple equation at the end of the day.
Yeah, and to be honest, and I think this dude, I think the only blame I'll really give him is that he should have known that you don't go with someone who's in the entertainment industry, because yeah, this is the kind of stuff that's going to come with it, right?
Especially from his position. Like, if this was Offset, like, and he does that tweet, he doesn't get ridiculed like this because he's Offset. You know what I mean? Like, when Offset just recently called out Cardi for cheating, right? They're not saying anything to Offset. Cardi actually has to go about and defend herself, right? Because Offset is a person of status and power. Who's Darius?
And that's exactly and that's exactly right. Because as soon as he said something, what was the default insult? You're just to listen, stay at home and watch the kids and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Right. So it's so interesting how, to me, like, you know, you hear women say this a lot, like, oh, to me, like, I don't care about a man's money. I just care about love. Right. But then as soon as a situation like this happens, you immediately insult him for money or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just learned with them, like, just watch their actions, not their words.
Right.
Because they'll say stuff like, oh, I want a man, you know, who'll open up to me and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
In that moment, he opened up and showed a vulnerability. What did he get out?
Yeah.
So they don't want that. They don't care for that. So that's why you don't do it. And with him, you know, it's going to be very difficult to find that traditional type of woman. It's not impossible. It's just going to be difficult.
Yeah.
So don't look in Hollywood. Don't look to Hollywood for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The fact that freedom of speech has extended to the social media platform, and then they just be saying whatever, and they don't even know what they really be saying at the end of the day. Just say it just to say it. And again, like we say, content over everything. Everyone is looking at ways to garner attention. Everyone's looking at a way to have a viral moment, or garner conversation, or build up a moment for a podcast, or for their own personal wealth, or personal attention, or personal attraction as a public figure, because everyone sees themselves almost as a public figure, and that's why they choose to speak on all these things, just to speak on it, right? Whether it's on Twitter, Thread, or Spill, they're gonna find a way to just speak and talk and just say things, even though the actions don't follow what it's they're saying.
True. And we're like overly connected. And here's a funny thing too, like what Jonah, was it his girl or his ex girl? I don't know, but she starts.
Jonah Hill,
yeah, the actor.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his girl or his ex-girl, but she wanted to use this moment to piggyback and get some clout of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts clout chasing by posting screenshots saying that, oh, he was mentally and emotionally abusive to me. And when you read the text, all he says is, here are my boundaries. If you want to be in a relationship with me, this is what I require. If not, then we don't have to be together. It looked like a very simple, pleasant conversation. I didn't see any manipulation or anything, but It's just that now, like, if you communicate boundaries, you know, as a man, or you just have certain standards that you hold a woman to,
right?
That makes you, you know, you have mother issues, you hate women, you're insecure, right? All these like insults and like language that they'll use to shame men. But if women have those same standards, well, hey, that's just her being a queen. And, you know, for her to be a queen, she is allowed to have standards for a king. So it's very strange. It's very odd. And that's why I try to, like, reduce social media as much as possible.
Yeah, because it'll definitely stir your thoughts on the opposite sex in a negative light. Because they may say things or perceive themselves through the social media as one person, and then you may see them in person in reality, and then it's, you don't really know who that person is. Or you might meet them in reality and then you see their social media and then you're like, wait, who actually is this person? And that's scary, right? Because you can, now they have two sides to them. Who's really the real person?
Yeah. And honestly, like, for dudes that are with someone, even topics like this, it's good to avoid talking about it with your girl, only because, like, you might be unpleasantly surprised to find what side of the fence that she's on. So it kind of goes back to what you're saying about how much you really know a person, right?
Yeah.
Like, she might actually agree with certain things that you don't necessarily agree with, and that can create friction and negativity and tension, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now you guys, like you said, you guys are looking at each other sideways like, oh, are you not really the person I think you are?
Right.
So it's tricky because on one hand, you do want to get to know the person. You want to know their views and stance on things. But on the other hand, you don't want to introduce unnecessary drama, right? Because I think a lot of times guys, they think this way.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're in relationships, they sometimes fold, and then they might completely sing a different tune, even though they actually agree.
Right.
So it's interesting to see.
Yeah, interesting times we're living in for sure, man. Like, you know, so it's just, again, it's the talk of the town, and it's something we definitely had to cover as a podcast, but it's just crazy to see what is filling up the timelines right now.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, on a more lighthearted note, right, we can get a little bit lighthearted, is what do you make of it in the sports world, like with ESPN doing all of these, like ESPN doing like all these layoffs? I mean, I guess that's not really all that much lighthearted, but it is something that I do find, it is something that I found to be a little bit interesting.
Right.
What's going on? Like, what did you think about those? Like, what did you make of it?
I think it's fascinating, especially, this is something I want to discuss with you, especially with your coverage of Undisputed and the whole Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless and just that dynamic and how that unfolded, right, as you predicted. So it's interesting that I guess Shannon kind of was the first domino, right? Him breaking up with Skip and leaving Undisputed, and that started a domino effect of ESPN now looking at what they have and how they could change it and shift it, knowing that paying all these salaries is, again, not going to be good for them as a brand, right? So definitely they can cut off some loose ends, and that's what they ended up doing, right? And we are entering a new era of social media, or media, sorry. And I feel like ESPN is trying to find a way to capitalize, but they just don't know the best way to go about it. But of course, it's always easy to cut costs, right? By cutting salaries, right? They have these bunch of names on their payroll, right? And now you have to make that decision to find ways to garner revenue. And I feel like it'll be very interesting to see their next steps, right? Because they are at a point where they are now having to go up against private media companies. For example, Shannon Sharp and his show that he has, his podcast show that he has. And now you have Cameron and you have Mace covering sports as well with their podcasts. And they are getting more viewerships or more attention than maybe a show like Get Up or First Take, right? So clearly they need to go in a different direction. And I think the layoffs was a sign of that, of how can they adapt to this new media that's on the rise. And it'll be interesting to see what direction they do go into. Do they say fuck it and bring in a Shannon Sharp, right? Drop the bag, they do all these layoffs and bring in a Shannon Sharp, and a Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Do they do that? Who knows what direction they really go in, but it's something to definitely watch, because Disney as a company is definitely facing a lot of challenges, and ESPN being under Disney, it's something that they all need to address to see how they could bring this company back to where it once was. So it's something to look at, for sure.
Yeah, so... Okay, so I would say, like, kind of to the last point you just made, I think, you know, I think Disney or ESPN specifically, I think they've reached a point of no return. They'll never go back to what they were at their peak. Mm-hmm. I think they've made it very clear the direction that they want to go into. I think at this point, they're just chasing virality, right? So I think when you have a guy like Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp, you're hoping to just get those viral moments that just get you trending, that'll get people talking about you. But I think what's happening is, I think audiences and consumers, I think they're becoming a lot more savvier, in the sense that they're a lot more critical of the information that they're getting, because they understand whatever you get from ESPN, there's someone behind the scenes pushing a certain narrative or pushing an agenda, mm-hmm. right? And I think what you get with independent media, such as, like you mentioned, like Cam and Mace, and even what we're doing here,
right,
is we're giving unique perspectives that you're not going to hear or see on TV. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give an example, like during the draft, and we can talk more about this later.
Yeah.
But, you know, Wojnarowski, or Milhouse, as I like to call him, is sitting up there analyzing the game.
Yeah.
And he's talking like, oh, Wemby is going to be the greatest prospect I've ever seen in NBA history.
It's crazy.
Like, you're just saying things just to say things.
Yeah, clickbait stuff.
Yeah, like you're just saying it just to say
the headline. Yeah.
But then there's people on the internet that are going to be like, yo, hold up, wait a minute. We have actual concerns, like not concerns, but we have questions about this dude's ability. Sure. I wrote it on Twitter and I'm going to stand on it. I don't think he's that good of a player. And I think once he gets to the league, I think he'll be a serviceable player. Mm-hmm. I think he'll be solid, but I don't think he's going to be a franchise changer like a Tim Duncan and David Robinson and Tony Parker and those guys, you won't have the level of impact like that those guys had, or even a Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And my prediction is that the Spurs will spend many years trying to develop him. It won't really go much further. And then they're going to have to draft, or find a point guard who could really carry the team on their back, right? But that's at least my analysis of the game based on what I've seen from him. I don't see it, right?
Yeah.
But the media narrative is that Wemby is this all-time great prospect.
Yeah.
But then you look at why are they pushing that narrative? Well, it's because the NBA is trying to go global.
Yeah.
So this is like I believe he's African, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? He's French African, right? So I believe he's from France.
Yeah. So he's a French dude that lived in France. Mm-hmm. So he's already giving you two demographics. He's giving you the French audience, and then on top of that, he's giving you the African audience. And the NBA has a league out in Africa.
Yeah.
So isn't it slightly possible that Adam Silver could have given them a memo that said, hey, this is what we need you to help promote, and ESPN will oblige?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's very obvious that mainstream media is compromised.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a lot of strings.
Yeah. So there's a lot of independent creators out there that are going to come out now and call out the nonsense.
Yeah.
So with Shannon Sharp, and I said this on the last time when I was covering it. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that he has the numbers, he has the following, that he could go independent, but he doesn't have the courage or the kahunas to do it. Mm. He's going to take a job at FanDuel or he's going to take a job at ESPN because he doesn't have that courage to bet on himself the way a Marcellus Wiley did.
Yeah. Right?
Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharpe, as entertaining as they are, they're the old guard.
Yeah.
Right? And they know that. And Stephen A. Smith, that's why every chance he gets, he always talks down on independent creators. He always makes fun of them. It's not that he's talking from a place of wisdom. He's talking from a place of insecurity.
Yeah.
Because he sees what's happening. So I think that's why ESPN, I think they're done for. I think at this point, they're in palliative care, right? But they're just trying to grasp at straws, hoping to chase a viral moment. And I think they're all in on Shannon Sharpe. And I think for them to unload that many talent, they have some kind of inclination that Shannon Sharpe will go there.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, right? That's what it seems like, that they're offloading to bring in a big piece, right? But I wanted to go back on just discussing Wemby. And I guess this could slowly go into our basketball conversation. But I got a chance to watch Wemby in Summer League. And of course, I agree with you in the notion of the league is trying to go global, right? So if they have a international player and they have Joker now, they have Wemby, they have Luka Doncic, how can they go global, push these global players, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they expand this whole World versus USA all-star game and competition, right? Because again, they have a star, they have a number one draft pick. The time is now, right? LeBron is on his way out. All they can do now is push someone else, right? So I could definitely see them having a narrative created around Wemby. But again, I was watching a clip today, and I think it was Famous Los, and he was just breaking down Wemby's game. And really and truly, they say he's the next generational talent. And really, he's just Rudy Gobert with a jump shot. That's all it is. Right? He's just more athletic. Well, it's not more athletic than Rudy. It's just that he can shoot the ball and he has more of a handle than Rudy Gobert. But outside of that, his best attributes will be rim protection and defense. And just be able to affect shots at the end of the day. He's not going to be one that's able to just dominate on the offensive side of the ball, because players that are strong and the PJ Tuckers that we have, those enforcers, are going to beat him up, right? And he's not LeBron. He's not Giannis. He's not any of these players that we don't know, of course, but we can't label him as a LeBron or Giannis, or put him in that in that ballpark with, when we know that it's going to take time, right? And he doesn't have that skill set from just you looking at it, right? He just doesn't have that skill set, right? Yes, he's 7 foot, right? But there's more to that, right? To be a generational talent. And I just don't think he'll ever be able to just take that leap in year one, two, or three, right? It's definitely going to be take time, and it's going to be a longer project than him being the best generational talent that we've ever seen.
And to be honest, I do kind of feel bad for the dude, you know, just only from the lens or from the perspective that they're setting this kid up for failure, because he never called himself those things.
Yeah.
He just wants to hoop and live out his dream, but they're throwing all these titles and expectations on him. And if he doesn't live up to even half of what they said he is,
he'll be a bust in year two.
They're going to call him a bust. And it's like, you're going to give him this title of being a bust, right? Because of an expectation that was really unfounded that the media had.
Yeah.
And now he could potentially go the rest of his career, his life, being labeled as a bust just because the media expected something out of him.
Right.
So to me, that part is ridiculous, right? And I think a lot of people now see through the mainstream media narratives.
Yeah.
Because the thing with basketball is there's only 10 guys on the court at a time, 5 on each team. So if someone is not that guy, you can only say they're good for so long until the eye test eventually tells you that, you know what? They're probably a little bit shaky, right?
Yeah.
And I remember before I said that, you know, Larry Bird, he was great at his time. But if you put him in today's league, or you put him in the league within the past 20 years, he's not doing what he did back then.
Right.
And then some of the comments I've seen, which I removed them, they're like, oh, you're uneducated, you don't know anything. And then, would you look at this? Dennis Rodman goes on Vlad TV's couch, and what does he say? Larry Bird was not that great of a player, all things considered. And this is Dennis Rodman, an all-time great, saying this. So clearly he's looking at it from the same lens that I was looking at it from. You have to look at everything in context.
Yeah.
Right? So when I see him, like, I'm just looking at it within the context. Like, I don't see him being what they're saying that he is going to be. I just see a lot of gaps and a lot of holes that don't really match up to what I know a great big man is.
Right.
And they're setting this kid up for failure, which is very disappointing. But
yeah,
I think mainstream media, I think they're kind of slowly seeing the end is near, and then there's nothing they can do to reel it in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they have to reach out on a limb, right, and go for the hottest takes and just go for these viral moments, because, again, they see that the end is near. So if they don't have that viral moment, no one's going to look at First Take. No one's going to see what someone said. That's why they have to say outlandish things to be like, what? What did you say? Who said that? For them to get viewership. It's not something like, oh, that's smart what they said. That makes sense. It's always something that's ridiculous. It's one ridiculous, and the other side would be defending it, right? It would only be someone like JJ Redick who would actually speak the truth, because Mad Dog or Stephen A or Kendrick Perkins would be talking out their ass.
Yeah. And then, like, and it's so interesting to me that ESPN made the decision to get rid of a guy like Jalen Rose, who I actually, listening to him, there's a lot of good information that I kind of like learned from him. Like, I'm like, every now and then, like, I saw he was going down the woke rabbit hole a little bit, but you know, that's his personal choice. It is what it is. But there's certain things that he was saying where I'm like, yo, you know, from a basketball perspective, that makes sense. Jay Williams, when Stephen A. Smith was like annihilating Kyrie Irving on a daily basis, Jay Williams was the voice of reason that said, hey,
making sense.
Like, let's bring you back to the center a little bit. Don't be so biased, right?
Right.
Max Kellerman, he used to upstage Stephen A. Smith a lot of times on First Take. You know what I mean? So they got rid of a lot of the talent, and then you kept people like Malika Andrews. So that tells me, as an organization, what direction you want to go in. Sorry, I'm not buying it. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of the, that's where they want to go. And yeah, you know, the NBA is trying to go global.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'll say too is, like, if you saw recently, they have that new in-season tournament, right?
Yeah.
You're a soccer guy. Like, you played soccer, you follow soccer, you're very well familiar with the game.
Yeah.
That resembles a lot of the tournament. It resembles the way soccer has it set up, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to the FA Cup. FA Cup is like a cup that's determined amongst the English clubs within England, right? So again, since the NBA is an American league, it's like all the best American teams. I guess, of course, it's not as widespread because it's not something where NBA and the G League or a league below it can enter in. It's just within the NBA. But again, it's the same concept with garnering a competition that could have the possibility of a team like the Indiana Pacers beating the Warriors in the finals just because it's in December and there's load management and who knows, right? Mm-hmm. A team that like the Warriors or Denver that's at the top might not have the same interest as winning this smaller cup that doesn't mean anything, just has a money incentive around it, than winning something like the NBA trophy, right? But I guess now that brings into effect, like, one could have a do a double, right? Because it's not three trophies, it's two, right? So one could win the in-season tournament and now have a goal of winning the NBA title as well, right? So same thing in soccer, we call it a treble, where one may win the league, win the FA Cup, which is their like their local domestic league title, and then win something like the Champions League, for example, right? Which is now a global championship. So it is interesting, I guess. It's a way to increase viewership, I guess, do something new and different. And of course, we'll see how it goes. At first, I feel like there'll be a lot of hate or dislike towards it because it's something new. No one really likes change. And then the next thing you know, an injury is caused from it, or it just doesn't go as they viewed it to go. But again, the thing in with soccer is the history around it, right? The FA Cup has been going on for years. So once the in-season tournament is something that's 20 years in the running, then there'll be some more validity around it, right? So for now, it's something they're just throwing in there to, again, have more money, more interest, increase viewership. But again, it's an idea. I can't fault Adam Silver for going this direction, because it will be interesting and it will spice up a slower period for the NBA where there's just games, but they're almost meaningless and there's load management and people are sitting out. And it gives that possibility of a team like the Orlando Magic or the Indiana Pacers somehow getting into a knockout game and beating, upsetting a team that may be in first place and winning that trophy, right? So incentivize teams that are just in the middle of the pack to just get hot and win a title, right? What does it mean? Will people care? Will the players care? Who knows? Again, it gives them an incentive to care, though. So we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, you see, that's actually a good perspective that I didn't see it from.
Yeah.
Like, I think, it's designed to do that, but also to, you know, I think as someone who likes to read up, like, on, sometimes I like to read up on business and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, they like to think for the future.
Yeah.
While trying to figure out how they can make money today.
Mm-hmm.
So in the short term, this is going to be a way that they are assuming that it's going to generate some kind of interest at a time in the season where it goes dull, right?
Yeah.
And it'll give teams a chance to give them something to compete for. But I think long term, because I was looking at the cups and stuff, and like this whole system, like the whole setup just looks dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually what's going to happen in like 15, 20 years from now is they're probably going to open it up globally. So you're going to have maybe, don't be surprised if the NBA tries to absorb some of these foreign smaller leagues.
Yeah.
And maybe get them to compete in this separate World Cup tournament. Yeah. And the NBA championship doesn't have the emphasis that was once placed on it because now there's so many other cups to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we look at these athletes on Forbes and say, yo, these guys are making money. Look at these contracts. But then when the Forbes list come out, they're getting their asses whipped by guys in soccer. Because soccer is such a huge game in Europe, and not even just Europe, but like globally, like Latin America, Africa, like Asia. They love soccer.
Saudi Arabia. Right? Look at that. Yeah. Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Middle East. They love soccer, right? And like the NBA is seeing that we have a chance where we can make our game a close second or maybe one day surpass soccer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think now they're trying to set the league up for the future where, like, you know, because before, if you look at the history of the league, it was, what was it, the NBL and the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
They merged. They formed the NBA.
NBA,
and that became the American League.
Mm-hmm.
So now globally, don't be surprised if you see them start buying out some of these small leagues and countries like Turkey and Spain and all these
creating places. Almost like a super league.
Exactly. And then now it's like you're going to have tournament after tournament after tournament. So instead of caring about this one championship that you play for in June, there's other championships that you could win along the way. So I think
so it could be the best in the world, like actually not just saying it because you won the American NBA title.
Yeah, because so I think, you know, eventually, and they want to get a cut into some of that FIBA market, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, why only compete in America all year long? And then in the summertime, you only do the world. Why not just make it all the time? You're always playing the world, right? The same way they do it in soccer. So I think that's the vision that he has for it, right? People can hate it. They can love it. They can like it, dislike it, whatever. But I believe that's the direction that they're going in.
Yeah.
You know, business is business, is business, like you said.
Yeah.
For these people, money talks.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that the NBA launched their own league in Africa, that should tell you something.
Right, exactly. Because that's like their sneak peek of what it could look like.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, if that project goes over successfully, then we can merge that league into our league. And then we can start doing like, you know, cross-continent tournaments over a set period of time, right?
Right.
But they just need to lay the infrastructure. So they're laying the infrastructure there. They're laying the infrastructure here because these tables and these groups, it looks stupid. It looks like, but once you have more
countries, Richard Jefferson tried his best.
And it made absolutely no sense, right?
Zero sense. Yeah.
But eventually, it doesn't make sense today, but it'll make dollars tomorrow.
Exactly. And
that's what the NBA is banking on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
It makes sense today, but it makes dollars tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan, you know, it's great having you on. You know, where can the audience, where can they connect with you? Where can they find you?
Well, right now it's quiet. We had some pre-pod discussions. So right now I have nothing to share at the moment, but things are in the work, right? So nothing now, but soon we'll have something to look forward to. But if you would like to find me, I do have an Instagram at J_Lynch11. And that's also my Twitter handle as well.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and all that stuff will be in the video, will be in the description. So, definitely great having you on, bro. Great discussion.
Great episode, man.
Yeah, likewise, bro. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Take care of yourself, Yusuf.
Yeah, you as well. Until next time.
Until next time. Wire to wire. We out.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big.